What's up, guys? Another episode, Working Class on DeerCast, and with my good friend Taylor Drury. What's up?
Whoop whoop! What's up?
Thanks for doing this.
I'm pumped. I was so, like, when you texted me, like, hey, are you available? I was like, I'm available. Let's go.
Well, it goes back on the joke that you and Austin avoid us, so you're doing your charity work for the year.
I knew that was going to come up. Like, so many comments through social media have flooded in on Working Class, or sometimes my stuff. They're like, when are you going to get on the podcast? So I knew that. I mean, I couldn't say no, right?
Right. I got you cornered. But yeah. We do need to get you and Austin on together for like a regular just Working Class one. If it ever works out in studio, you guys will like come in and hang out, and we can actually just do a full length relaxed one, you know?
I agree. I told him, because he's actually out turkey hunting right now in Utah. But I told him, I was like, hey, I'm doing a podcast with Kurt. And he was like, oh, dang it. I wish I was going to be home. So he was almost home.
Well, at least he's thinking about me.
All up there.
That's right. Well, you guys are killing it in turkey season. I know you killed a monster of a turkey in Iowa, right? Or was that Missouri?
It was Iowa. Like, seriously, such a crazy hunt. I actually just did a story on that bird with Outdoor Life yesterday. I mean, it was one of those just awesome hunts where we're like on the surface of the moon out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kill the gobbler at 25 yards. There's like six of us all go up to the bird and we're like, what the heck? The bird had no spurs, which my dad was like, geez, I can't recall ever killing a turkey without spurs. I mean, like not even a bump, a nub, nothing, just flat. Triple beard. And then he weighed close to 28 pounds. He was like 27.6 pounds. So just a giant. Like,
wow. Really cool. I wonder what the deal is with the spurs. Did your dad have any like explanation for that?
No, not really. I mean, that I remember, I don't think so. I mean, I remember he was like, this is just so rare. Like, I wonder how many birds a year are actually killed without spurs. But then triple beards. Like, he's like, apparently all the testosterone went to his beard.
Yeah, what the heck? Well, that's cool though. That I did watch that hunt, and it looked like a blast. It looked like there was like a whole party out there hanging out for turkey season, and which turkey hunting's like for your buddies. You know what I mean? It's
you
get similar experiences when you're deer hunting, but I feel like turkey hunting, you can do it with people, and you can kind of run and gun and do things a little differently.
Yeah, the run and gun style. I mean, that's primarily what we do. I'd say roost hunts were normally in a blind, but running and gunning, it's just, you know, you can have three, four, five. And on that hunt, we had six. Even Paul Butsky was there calling, which was like a really cool experience. I had never hunted with Paul before that. Like, I've been in camp with him, but not hunting. Mm. So to have him calling that day was really cool. Like, just to listen to Paul. I know that Paul's been on the podcast, but just to listen to Paul call is a freaking treat.
Like, yeah, he did like a walkthrough tutorial on that turkey OG series we did. So if anyone missed that and you want to know more about turkey calling, that's the one to go back to. But him and Steve Stoltz, I mean, all those guys are the best. And I was actually supposed to go out and hunt for a day with your old man and Rob Keck. And I kind of like, I got, the kids were sick and then I got sick and I called Mark and I'm like, man, I don't want to be that guy to show up and get everybody sick. Like, I'll come if you want me to, but I didn't want to show up and have everyone be like, what are you doing? And he's like, man, just sit it out. So all good. But I'm glad I gave him a heads up on it.
I was going to say, if you ever want to get uninvited to dad's camp, he is the biggest germaphobe on planet Earth. So if you tell him that you even sneeze once, like 72 hours ago, he's like, I think you should sit this one out.
You know, it's funny. He told me that. He's like, Kurt, do you know how big a germaphobe I am? And I was like, yeah, I think I do, because one of the first podcasts in person we ever did with Mark was at, it was actually at the Iowa Deer Classic, but it was before the show opened. And I like wiped everything down at the shows, like Lysol and stuff. And the first thing when he put the headset mics on, he's like, man, are these clean? And so what I do now is anytime that we go out to Iowa to record, or if I know he's going to be in here, I actually have, I'll show you here, microphone disinfectant spray specifically for that. And plus, I don't want someone on Doug's microphone where his mustache has been rubbing it the whole time. You know, we take care of that in advance here. So
that is so funny. So many people don't know that about dad. I mean, yeah, if close inner circle, family, friends, you know, but him and Terry are literally germaphobe freaks. Like, And dad's one of those people, like, if you go to like a restaurant and somebody sneezes or coughs like 50 yards on the other side of the restaurant, it's like, oh my gosh, night ruined.
Yeah. I mean, I get it a little bit. Like, I don't stress out about it, but nowadays I get it a little, you know?
Yeah.
Never be too safe.
We always give them crap for it because it's like, man. But that is funny. When you were just saying, like, you called him and said, hey, like, my kids are sick and stuff. I know he was like, oh, nope.
He was like super nice about it. I'm like, dude, you can just tell me it's all good. Like, I understand. Trust me. Like, if anybody understands being scared of this stuff, it's me. I get it. So, anyway, we got to go. He got to hold the kiddos and stuff. We went to dinner last weekend after all that passed. So, but yeah, you saw that picture of your old man and Bubba, my little Clyde. So,
yeah, I saw the picture and I was like, you know, I can think of, I think, two photos. Okay, maybe when I was a baby, like old photos, but like recently, two photos of dad holding a baby. One being your son now, and then two being Wade and Kyle Robinson's son, Riggs. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed. Like, when I saw that, I was like, dad's baby holding skills are like really ramping up this spring.
Yeah, two babies. Perfect. Yeah.
Two babies.
something. So that was cool. Yeah. But no, I wanted to just get you on and BS a little bit. You know, we did that podcast down in Missouri with the boys, with Matt and Tim, and we did like a back and forth between the two different series on DeerCast. And, you know, I asked Matt some questions about like growing up in the Drury umbrella, the family. I mean, obviously you as well. And I asked him about like I'm just diving right into it, but I asked him about the pressure. Like, was there a pressure? And he didn't act like there was, but he kind of alluded to a few things like that, thinking about while hunting and stuff like that and getting in his own spots and doing his own thing. And do you feel like growing up in the Drury family? I mean, you're the whitetail god's daughter, essentially, you know, like, does that put any angle of pressure on you when you're hunting or when you're doing anything outdoor related, I guess?
You know, I feel like growing up, you know, younger days, it's like, I started hunting when I was 8 with dad, or going with him before that, but actually like hunting on my own, got my hunter safety at 8 years old. And it's like that window of 8 to, I don't know, you know, 16, 17, 18, social media really wasn't present at all in my life, you know? So I would say that I didn't feel pressure necessarily. It's just like anybody, like everybody grows up in different families. Their parents have different careers and roles, you know, are passionate about super things. So I never viewed it as pressure just because I never knew anything different, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I always knew that, okay, that's my dad's job, but it's also, you know, his passion in life, and I enjoy doing it too. But I would say a little bit of pressure, I guess, if you want to use that word, would be like when social media came a big part of the company and in my life, you know, because you don't really hear a lot of outside opinions or feedback or what people think of you, or, you know, maybe there's people that are judging a shot you made or something like that. So in my opinion, the word pressure only came in like when social media came in, because then you have thousands and thousands of people now on Drury Outdoors channels, millions, that can say whatever they want to on a keyboard.
So directly to you.
Yeah. So like internally, personally, I think that's the only pressure that I feel a little bit. And then I don't know if Matt said this too, but I think not really a pressure, but you have a duty, like you want to be able to carry on dad and Terry's legacy as smoothly and as professionally as possible, you know, and there's such a huge representation of the hunting community and the lifestyle that we live. So that comes into it too. You know, you always want to carry that torch high and like keep the message as clean and positive as possible, especially in today's world.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's probably a good outlook on it. Social media like brings in so much positive, but so much negative that I think our community is kind of torn between it a lot. Like, I love it. It's necessary. It's a part of working class bow hunter. It has to be.
Yep.
But also I hate it too. Like, if it wasn't for working class bow hunter, I don't know how involved with it I would actually be. But it's how people communicate with us in our episodes. So it's a ton of positive there, but
for sure.
I can imagine that like people probably have a ton of opinions at you because one, you're a female and people just seem to go at you guys a little differently and a little more aggressively, which was shocking because that's the opposite of how you think it would be. But, but no, I think that's a good like point to make too. It's like, you do have a legacy that you have to take on, but, that being said, you said once you got into it, once you started hunting, did you feel like a connection to hunting right away? Or was it something like, if you think honestly, like, it took me till I was about 15, 16 before I really liked it or longer or whatever?
Yeah, no, honestly, there was no delay for me at all. And it was one of those things where, and I've actually gotten asked this a few times, like before, you know, like, did your dad have to like convince you to love it or like force you to take you out and stuff like that? Promise, it was not like that at all. Like, I'm a very, I feel like, headstrong person. Like, if it would have been something at eight years old or 10 years old that he was taking me to go hunt and do all these fun things, and I was just like, you know, this isn't my type. Like, I don't think, well, I know that like he would not have pushed that, but it was just something that I loved instantly. Obviously, it's evolved a lot. You know, for when I first started, it was just a couple weekends here and there, really youth season, and then kind of being in hunting camp. And then it's like, then it gets into when bow hunting kicked in. So then you're kind of doubling your seasons.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm full time for the company. So it's kind of come full circle in the last, almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
Or I guess 19 years. But yeah, no, I've loved it forever. Like, I honestly couldn't imagine my life without it. Mm-hmm. And I think of so many things. And I feel like every hunter, really, when you sit down and think about it, we'd probably all be on the same page. Like, if you removed hunting from your life and all the memories, all the people it's introduced you to, all the meals that you've had from it, your life would be so incredibly different.
It'd like so weird.
Literally. I mean, I wouldn't have the job I have. I literally wouldn't have the freezer filled that I have. I wouldn't have the husband I have. I wouldn't be living in Utah. Some of my best friends and like people that were in our wedding are literally from the hunting industry. So I seriously couldn't imagine my life without it at all.
Yeah. That's weird when you put it that way. It's like, if you remove that one thing, which your life would be so different, like from step one, like I always joke around, but it might not be far from the truth. If I didn't have bow hunting when I was young, I'd probably be in prison. Like, I always say that just because, like, I used to be a rowdy, younger, kind of wild kid, you know? And I always, like, set things aside or didn't do things because I didn't want to not be able to go bow hunting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kidding when I say that, but really, it's like, it kept me out of trouble a little bit. I mean, I got hand tattoos, so I look like I've been there. But, but you know what I mean? Like, I would have, I could have done something else the whole time that when I was bow hunting, but I like set that time apart. Sure. But also, like you said, I ramped into being super passionate about it. I think if someone, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but if your dad was like, all right, you got to bow hunt for 2 months straight every day, here we go. Yeah. It'd be different.
Yeah, it definitely would. And I think, you know, it's cool when you see parents, and obviously you're probably already there with your daughter. You'll get there with your son when he's a little bit older, but it's nice to see parents just like slowly introduce their kids and keep it fun, you know,
sure.
Because it's like, at the end of the day, you can't force or pressure someone to like anything. In my opinion, deep down, you either have a love for something or you don't, especially hunting. You know, it's a big deal to understand the circle of life, to understand why you're taking a life, things like that. So I just love when I see parents, you know, whether it's taking them out shooting or like when I was young, we used to ride around the four wheeler and set cameras out and like mineral blocks, things like that, where at the time I didn't realize that I was like learning the steps and the process that dad did.
Yeah.
But now looking back, it all makes sense. Like I was slowly learning, but at the same time, he was just kind of dabbling into introducing me to different sides of it as I got older. You know?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's, you know, I know I can't make my kids like hunting, but it's going to be, they're not going to know much different that if they want to do it, they can. But we've had this debate a lot on the podcast lately, like what is the age? And I think it's different for every kid probably. Mm-hmm. And I think if you push them too fast to try and shoot a deer and they wound a deer or miss, it could ruin them before they even get going. I think I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, I agree with that. Obviously, I'm not in that spot yet because I don't have kids. But I feel like I killed my first deer at 8, you know, and that was when I got my hunter safety.
And that's pretty dang young.
Dad felt like it was a good time. But I think, I don't know, it's like if I would have been a little bit earlier than 8, would I have remembered all of that? You know, because I remember it vividly. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important, like, you know, when deciding on when your child should start hunting and actually have the weapon in their hands, like, are they old enough to understand the weapon, the safety of it, what taking a life means? You know, I think that's really important. And I also feel like I always appreciated that dad introduced me at an age at 8. I do remember it, but it's like you feel different emotions at 8 than you're going to at 4 and 5 and 6. That's probably a major personal opinion, but that's just kind of always my thoughts on it.
No, I mean, you're basically right on with some of the conversations and debates we've had on it. Cause it's like, I think I started hunting when I was 10, hunted 3 years without killing it, killed my first deer with a bow in that range somewhere, you know? And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I didn't shoot a deer right off the rip. And I was only hunting gun season in Illinois. So 2 weekends a year. And I didn't hunt youth season probably because my dad didn't even know about it and I didn't know, but I'm glad that I had that ramp up of just like a couple weekends and then I wanted to get into bow hunting. Then it just let me get into it more naturally and realize it's hard. And then it made that first deer more, it was a bigger deal.
Right. Right. And it's like, I think kind of back to that, you know, are your kids going to hunt? Are they not? I'm sure every parent that's a hunter thinks of that, but I think it's such a cool thing too. Like if you're raising your kids in the outdoors, not just hunt, doesn't always have to be hunting. Like I always love watching Eva Shockey stories because her kiddos are always outside, mm-hmm. you know? So it doesn't mean that they're in a deer blind hunting, but it's like they're making memories outside. And I feel like as you grow to love the outdoors and not sit on the couch and watch TV, the more like open-minded you would be to potentially hunting if it wasn't like a first love when you're 7 years old.
For sure. Yeah. You're around it. You're more involved with everything around you. Like that's my goal is like, we're getting a camper. I want to get my daughter into fit. I'm not into fishing, but I want to get into fishing for her, you know, because she's 3. I mean, it's fun. It'll be fun for a little bit and then she'll be bored and want to do something else. But anyway, I think about it a lot. You know, when to start them in, but I think I'm just going to go with the flow and how it happens. That's the way it'll happen.
Absolutely.
But you know, that's interesting. I was just curious about that. Like if you felt that passion and attraction to hunting right off the rip, or it's something that you dabbled in, fell out of it and then came back to it later, you know?
Yeah. Cause Matt's a little bit different. I know that you guys had that podcast, you know, he really got into it. I would say it was like after high school, college, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he really got interested, but he was already a part of the brand, you know, on the back end of things too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, definitely a love that I've had. It's just like been instilled in me and there since I was little. But I think the passion has definitely changed too. You know, like when I was young, it was like, I couldn't wait for weekends in high school because my mom would come pick me up and we'd head to the farm,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or in middle school, stuff like that. And it's like now, yes, I count down for turkey season. I count down for deer season, but my passion has grown beyond just hunting. It's grown into what I can do for the business and the lifestyle and the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just obviously with age, I guess that comes. And then with my job and stuff like that. So
for sure. If going back to what you mentioned earlier, if you weren't doing this for a living, and born into this whole like big family business that's surrounded by with what you love, which is amazing.
Yeah.
What other things are you interested in that you could see yourself doing if you didn't have your current job?
Honestly, this is really easy for me because I have like a couple loves outside of hunting. I think people that follow me on social media know this, but I have an absolute love for like home design and interior design. Super interested in it. I'm like one of those that spends my free time in the evenings, like on Pinterest, looking up like decor and home design and structures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would either do something within that, maybe the real estate slash interior design, or I also have a big love like into fashion things. Like I love following fashion bloggers. I love like watching like how fashion has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know really what I would do in that space, but I would want to do something with like makeup or clothes, which it's like, I say that, I'm like, that is literally the complete opposite of what I do.
Yeah, but
I've always had a love for it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you can do both. That's like the business side. I feel like a lot of industries are similar and you're good at what you do for your job now. Yeah. And you could find a way where that relates into another interest or passion.
For sure.
That's easy one for me to go to, because I would just be doing what I did before I became full-time with the podcast. But So that being said, with like interior design and stuff like that, how much taxidermy plays into that?
A lot. I know I'm not like set up there now. We do have a whole like trophy room downstairs. Mm-hmm. We actually joke, Austin and I built this home like a year and a half ago, and we're like, well, we're already out of wall space. Like,
yeah,
literally, it is insane to me how much space taxidermy takes up.
It's a lot.
And now it's like you start adding elk and mule deer to it and stuff. I still have whitetails in the Midwest and I need to get to Utah somehow. Like, my dad's like, hey, I no longer am a storage space.
Right. Yeah. Start but paying a fee.
That's one thing. Like, there's one side of me, like, I love a modern farmhouse house. But we would never have a house that did not have mounts like throughout both levels. I absolutely love that. And I just think it's such a cool thing. Like, you have friends over, you have family over, and all of a sudden you catch yourself, you know, eating elk tacos at the kitchen table. And then you get to talk about a mount that's on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, it just brings so much like story. And I think character into a home, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. I think even with like a house of the modern look, it adds a cool like flavor to it. But man, there's some people out there that I like asking that taxidermy question, because there's some people that even hardcore hunters, they're not into it.
I know that. And hey, I guess to each is their own, you know, everybody has their likes and dislikes, but I love it. Like,
I do too.
It's something that I even love going to the farm and looking at dad's mounts. Like, his 216 just came in the other day before I left turkey season from Dittmer. And it's just like, I don't know, mounts get finished, they make it to where they're going to be hung up. And it's like, it brings that like night back all over again to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I get that for sure. That I always looked forward to that when I was young, like getting the deer head back. So like, I have like an unhealthy obsession with shoulder mounts, you know, like eventually. And we talked about this on another podcast, and like when my dad passed away, I inherited all of his mounts. And I can't remember who we were talking. Oh, I was talking to my buddy, Johnny Utah, about this, because he has a ton of mounts. And I'm like, have you ever thought about, I mean, it's not fun to think about, but when you pass away, what happens with all your taxidermy? What do you do with it? And a lot of guys in our industry, it's like, you know, we talked to the Lindsays at ATA show for this podcast series, and they have an insane amount of them.
A lot.
And I asked him that question. He's like, I never thought about it. And I'm like, I know, because what a burden for like someone who's not into them. You know, it's like, what do you do?
I've never, ever thought about that.
I didn't think about it till I had to, you know, but unfortunately for me, I like them, you know, but.
Where do you put them all, though?
You have to build something, or I mean, ours worked out great because we have the studio, you know what I mean? So it's a great tribute. But I mean, that's not fun to think about, but.
No.
But you know what I mean? At the same time, it's like, oh man, what do you do? But anyway, not to bring down the house with that, but.
Well, I was going to now when dad's like, hey, when are you getting the rest of your mounts from the farm and taking them to Utah? I'm going to turn around and be like, well, where am I supposed to take your X amount of mounts someday?
Right. Just build a museum and just have it all there anyway. Just tell them, build something now, and then you can put them all in there, and it already looks good.
Yeah.
Your dad's healthy though, so you don't got to worry about much.
Yeah.
But it's something to think about, you know, like guys that have elk, and I'm sure Austin has a ton of mounts.
Yeah.
I would think.
I mean, crazy enough, Austin's never killed an elk.
Really?
He's never killed an elk, but he has a lot of mule deer mounts, and we have a mountain lion from him. Kind of the crazy thing is though, like, and this is not, you know, like a mean thing about him at all, but so many people, like when we were originally moving in together, were like, oh my gosh, like how many mounts are you going to have? And he was like, hey, my wife's going to have way more mounts than me. He's like, I've always guided my whole life. I haven't hunted that much.
Right. Right.
So, but the last few years, like he's had really great success with mule deer. So now we're starting to, and whitetails like in Texas and stuff. Yeah. So now with both of us hunting, him hunting more, we're kind of panicking about the wall space around here.
Yeah, no kidding. So you haven't, you know, you got that elk. We touched on that podcast. Well, when your old man was here, we had you call in and we talked about that, about you going, yeah. And all that. Do you still, does like now having an elk under your belt and, you know, he's such a awesome, such a hardcore mule deer guy. Do you still feel the same love for whitetails, or do you feel that that love is kind of split between these other species a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that elk hunt, it was the first time that I was like, holy smokes, I love a different style of hunting this same that I love a whitetail. I honestly right. never thought, like, it's like pre-Austin, pre-being, I guess, learning about the Western stuff, I never really thought about it. You know, it was just like, I was always either in the whitetail woods or in the turkey woods. And that's just, obviously that's what my dad does. Mm-hmm. He used elk hunt back in the day, but since I was growing up and what him and I've done together, you know, that didn't include Western hunts. But no, I mean, when I was elk hunting, I was like, I honestly can't believe that I feel like I love elk hunting as much as I love whitetail, but for two totally different reasons. Like, I think whitetail will always be at my top because that includes my dad and the places that he's worked hard for. And we have history with the deer. Well, I guess we get lucky enough to have history with them sometimes.
Yeah.
To where, you know, you can build that story and stuff like that.
For sure.
But the elk, it's like, I just fell in love. Number one, just an incredible animal to watch up close in the wild. The bugling, just how big and enormous that they are. Mm. I've never seen anything like it, you know? And then also the physical the aspect to it. Whitetails, no, it doesn't require, like, I'm not one of those that's going to be like, oh yeah, I work out 8 months a year to go whitetail hunting. Like, no.
It's different. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like elk hunting. Like I actually had to prepare for it. And then at the end of that week, I was like, okay, like 98 miles to do a hunt is just a really cool thing because the whole 98 miles, you're literally out there in their element.
That's, you know, a lot.
So, two totally different loves, but I did absolutely love it.
So at home, you know, you talked whitetails as your number one, and you're, you know, a lot of the juries is known for liking turkeys more than whitetails, which blows my mind a little, but I get it. You know, I get it after doing the Turkey OG series, I understand it now. And I actually picked up a shotgun and shot a couple birds this year with a shotgun, which I know you and Mark were giving me shit about in the past. But
we were.
how close does turkey hunting come to your passion for whitetail hunting?
It's close. I mean, whitetail for me is way above turkeys. I'm not going to lie. Dad and I have so much in common. People literally always say I'm basically as mini me. We like think the same things. We act the same way. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like his love for turkey hunting over whitetails, I'm just not there. And it's nothing against it. I absolutely love turkey hunting. Yeah. I really do. It's fun. Like we said earlier, the on the go technique, you have friends with you, you know, the camp life is fun, but it's like, I get jacked up for turkeys because watching them come in gobbling, that's fun. But they just all look the same. I think that's my only thing. Like you see a deer, you know, and you're automatically, your brain's rolling of like, how old are they? Do you have history? Do we have pictures of them? Is this the deer we're in there after? Turkeys, it's like, hey, if it's, you know, a 2-year-old or older, it's a turkey.
I get that. So yeah. No, that makes perfect sense because it's almost like you apply more of a, I want to pick the right terminology. You apply more of a, I don't want to say like a personality to a deer because we're trying to kill it. And that seems kind of like weird, but
yeah, but I get what you mean.
The depth of the animal as the individual mentally for us goes a little further than the depth of the Tom.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but.
Oh no, I agree. And it's like dad, I mean, he just loves it so much and I do too, but whitetails, I don't know. There's just something about it. And like I said, we are very lucky, you know, in Missouri and in Iowa that it's, you know, you gain history with these deer through pictures or through encounters. We manage for 5 and a half or older, you know? So it's like when you're chasing after a certain deer, or maybe you passed them 2 years prior and then all of a sudden you're able to wrap your tag. Like there's just a lot of history there and a lot of hours that went into that moment. I think that I've always respected the hours, not saying that I'm planning food plots and stuff, but when it comes to dad's hours and Perry and Wade and all, you know, the guys on the farm, I mean, there's just a ton of thought and hours and literal sweat put into those moments. So.
For sure. No, that makes sense. Hey, one other thing I want to talk to you about. So growing up in school, did you have a lot of like girlfriends that hunted or were passionate about hunting in any fraction that you were?
Really none of them. I mean, I grew up in the city and where I went to school, I would say that hunting or the topic of hunting was very rare. There was an occasional like teacher or two that were hunters, males, occasional like guys in my class that were hunters. But as far as females, like, I honestly can't think of any. Now, when I was younger in middle school and high school, I could think of probably three or four really good friends that I had at the time that I would bring up to the farm and we would take them hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And they always liked it. But no, I mean, just where I grew up in the school that I went to, like hunting was just not a lifestyle, I would say, which was kind of different at times. There were definitely kids that didn't really care for me because of it.
I had similar experiences here, you know, but.
Yeah, it never really bothered me. It was like, that's who I am. That's what I loved. It was my family. And hey, if we were going to have differences, we probably just weren't going to hang out after
school. Right. I was just curious because I didn't know, you know, then growing up and then working in the industry, that's probably where you made a lot of your closer female friends, having common interest and sharing the same passions. But I just didn't know. Like, I was curious to see if you had any just friends growing up that were into it, just even a sliver of it that you were, you know, it's just less common, especially for a female, you know?
Oh yeah. Big time. I mean, all of my closest friends now, seriously, I have a few great friends, that still remain some of my best friends from, you know, growing up, middle school, high school. But I would say 95% of the friends and the people in my life now have come from hunting, like post high school life, you know, when I actually like went to college for a couple of years, became a bigger part of the brand, started meeting more people at trade shows, social media, things like that. Like, you know, I think of like Kendall and Eva and all of them. It's like, I didn't really know any of them until I graduated high school. So my friend group definitely changed. But my friend group is a lot more outdoor hunting oriented now too, which I'm very glad about.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's just like, as you get older, you can pick and choose who you're around a lot easier than you could when you were in high school and in college and stuff like that. So it's funny, like same thing here. It's like, you know, I went to I don't want to say a city high school, but I was one of the few hunters, you know, but now I don't really hang out with anyone on the daily or on the weekly. That's not like hardcore about hunting. It's so a part of our lives and your friends now that, you know, getting a little older, so a part of their lives that's all you're really surrounded by. When you really break it down. So
for sure.
I was just curious if that's what you ran into. You know, I was just wondering what the dynamic was.
Yeah. I'm always impressed by, like, you know, I still follow people from high school and younger days, like on social media and stuff. I'm like really always impressed that like sometimes some of them still hang out with the same 20 people they were hanging out with in high school. I'm like, am I the weirdo or are they? Because I hardly hang out with any of them now.
Well, it's like you had an interest that was less common than probably what they had, you know? So I don't think, that's weird. It's just what you're into.
Yeah.
Takes
back
you places.
Then, it was like, as I was approaching college, it was like, basically there were a few paths. It was either, you know, the girls that were at my high school were going to sororities, or they were like me and literally going hunting on the weekends and then would come back for school Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just kind of where my life took me, I guess.
Pretty cool. It's working out. Well,
oh, heck yeah. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's been great getting to know you guys and everybody at the Drury family. And really, it's been a few years, but as this working class on DeerCast series is under a year old still. So I appreciate you taking the time to BS with me. We kind of just went on with no agenda and just talked on this. So that's the best way to do it, I think, sometimes.
You put you and me in a room together, and we can probably talk for hours about a bunch of nothing.
You get anyone? Well, yeah, that's mostly a bunch of nothing, you know. But you get anyone together that's like in our community that has like similar mindsets and can just talk, and you just go. That's, I guess that's where I'm lucky with the podcast is I can just talk. So
it's crazy. Like I've said this quote to so many people, and I definitely want to say it on here too. My dad told me when I was younger, since we were just talking about kind of younger days into now, my dad told me when I was younger, he's like, as you get older, as you grow up, you meet more people, your interests kind of broaden or maybe zone in on certain things. He's like, just watch. Chemistry is a really weird thing. You either have it in a couple seconds or you don't. And I remember kind of thinking, you know, what do you mean by that? And he was like, just watch. He said, remember this quote as you grow up. And he goes, when you meet people, like within the first few seconds or maybe the first conversation, when you leave that conversation, you're going to have one of two thoughts. It's going to be one, I'll probably never talk to them again. Or two, I have so much in common with them that I like can't get enough of the conversation. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think about it all the time. It really is a, like, chemistry is a crazy thing. You really do either have it with people or you don't. And I think that chemistry, like, cloud or bubble is so just like thick and relevant within the hunting community, because it's like, you almost never meet a hunter right off the bat that you don't just have great chemistry with, you know?
For sure. So, no, that's, I like that. I never really thought of it that way. I feel like I'm pretty observant of interactions, but I guess sometimes I just get spaced out. But that's, if you break it down, that's pretty dang true.
It is. You know? I mean, I think about it often now that you heard it, and I hope people that listen to this like hear it, because seriously, it doesn't mean that like every person you're going to meet with, you're either like, oh, I love them or oh, I hate them.
Right.
It's not that.
Yeah.
It's just, you really know within that first conversation, like how much time you're probably going to spend with that person afterwards. You know, it was like, we met you, we met the working class crew, and we instantly hit it off. We've had fun together at the Iowa Deer Classic, like these podcasts. You came to the farm the night after dad killed.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, but it's like, we knew at the beginning when we met you guys, it's like, we have so much in common and it's fun. You don't have to try hard to have conversation, I guess.
Yeah. It's just natural. That's the best part about it. Yeah. That is true. I mean, it's like at trade shows, you meet a lot of people at trade shows. I don't think that applies because a lot of it's like in passing, but it's like when you get introduced outside of a situation like that, you have time to talk to someone, then, you know, you can gauge it more. But yeah, I think that's accurate and fair.
A cool thing. I think about it often. He told me that when I was like young. And I think at the time I was like, what are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about, Dad? Shut up.
Yeah. But now it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it really does. Well, I appreciate it. I know we're both busy. It's funny. We're both running late before this. Like, oh, can we push it back a little bit? So it worked out, but thank you so much. Anything we should plug or talk about before we get off?
You know, we just wrapped turkey season 22, which was really cool. Like, we kind of kicked off that semi-live series, the storytelling, with deer season 21.
Yeah.
And then here in turkey season 22, we just wrapped it up. Last episode just went up this past Monday. So I'd say that's the only thing. Like, there's so many just bomb turkey hunts, like moments, Tacticam views, just some crazy stuff on all of those YouTube episodes. But it was a really big success for us. And it's just, it's really fun to be able to turkey hunt with the crew and also produce that and then kind of get the feedback that we did, just how people love it. They're like, people are on their way to work, pulling over, watching the Facebook lives, killing turkeys, you know? So yeah, I'd say that's the main thing. We're wrapping that up. And next is going to be TV season. I'm actually going in like 30 minutes to shoot interviews for Bo Madness. So
fun.
Roll right from turkey season into television season.
Awesome. Well, you guys are busy. I encourage everyone every week to get into your cast and like and comment and interact on there. That is a platform for our people. Get in there, support it, support us, and it's just going to get better from there. If you complain about Facebook, you can't complain about us trying to make a platform for you and you not supporting it.
I agree.
Help us help you, I guess, is what we could say there with DeerCast.
Nowadays, I thank God every day for DeerCast, because you just never know. Any day, you know, you see more and more hunters. I had a friend the other day, like, she gets on Instagram in the morning, boom, she was banned. my TikTok, I was at like 24 million views in a few weeks. Bam, got banned.
I didn't even think about to bring up the TikTok thing. TikTok sucks. Oh, we just got off a month ban for showing an antler.
It infuriates me, really. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, we have DeerCast. We don't censor people, and we welcome any and all ethical hunters that want to be in there. So it's nice.
And you never, my favorite thing about DeerCast, you know, the content, everything is great, what it's used for. But when you look at the interactions and the comment sections, yes, everyone is good people.
Agreed.
Rarely you see two people going back and forth in the comments on DeerCast.
Yes. Like, you definitely, the negativity is not over in DeerCast, which is a breath of fresh air. I mean, you just never know what people are going to say on Facebook, Instagram and stuff, but it's just like that chemistry thing that we were talking about. All those people in DeerCast commenting, talking to one another, posting for the fan shares. It's that same group of people where if there was 100 of them sitting here right now in my house, we could just BS for 2 hours.
It'd be a party. You know? Yeah, that's true. And the people that are there for positivity. And everyone just has a Facebook now and it's just there because they're just there. I don't know why, but get in DeerCast and support it. So we're trying really hard. So don't make me feel like I'm doing this series for nothing. Dang it. You know,
please, download the app.
I'm begging you. I need a job. So, all right. Well, Taylor, thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun. Let's do it again with Austin next time.
Yes. Tell him I'll be thinking about him and we'll get him on here.
I will. Hopefully he's killed. Well, he killed a turkey this morning. His brother did. And still out. So maybe they're on another one. I don't know.
Cool. Well, we'll follow up. We'll get one of those lined up here. Maybe when I get back from bear camp, we'll get one set up. So
let's do it. Go kill a bear.
I'm going to try. Doug and Eric are up. I'm kind of last guy on the list this year. I killed one before.
Just survive then. That's all you got
to
do.
I'm just there to have fun. So, All right, everyone. Thank you so much for watching, listening, viewing, commenting, and liking on DeerCast. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one. Go shoot a giant.